Let's pray, shall we, Father? Thanks for the unique opportunity we have to break open the bread of life. I pray that you will prepare our hearts. Thank you for those that have gone before us in doing this thing called church. Help us to learn from what they have done and help us to create a better environment for the next generation. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. We're going to do a little surgery today. So bear with us as we allow the Word of God to do a little slicing and dicing. I'm preparing you for something. So why don't we stand and let's read the Word of the Lord. We can only handle four verses. And so let's read it. Today, it's one of those sermons where all of us, last week we talked about the tongue and all of us were found wanting and we needed to do better. Today, we're talking about something else. Judges chapter 16 is where we're going to start. But to fully appreciate the Word of God, you have to remember that when it was first written and when it was first read, there was nobody that was reading it. Somebody would read it and you would be listening. So I want you to watch a little bit of the contrast as you read this as hearers of the Word of God. The verse is going to start out with this guy. Now, say the second word with me. Now, Samson. The word Samson, in its derivative form, means light. Everybody say that with me, light. In other words, Samson was supposed to be the deliverer of his people. He was supposed to be the light that everybody followed as he led them out of darkness. All right? Now, watch the text as you read it. Tell me what Samson means again. The word means? Well, two more times. The word means? Last time. The word means? Good. Now I want you to read it and watch the contrast. It's crazy good. Here we go. Now light, say that with me. Now went to and saw a, and he went into her. Light, you're supposed to be the light. And you went to Gaza and you saw a harlot and you went into her. For those of you under 18, don't worry about what that means. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Here we go. When it was saying, Samson, or saying, light has come here. They surrounded the place and lay in wait for him. All stop. Samson means light has come, but they lay in wait for him all night. You see the play on words. He's the light, but they're waiting all night at the gate of the and they kept silent all night. Watch it again. Samson, the light, they waited on him all night. And they kept silent all night, saying, let us wait until morning. Then we, do you see the contrast as people are listening to the word? Light, 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 light. They waited on him all night, 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 night. And they kept silent all night, 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 night. They let us wait until morning. Light, 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 light. So that we can kill him. Next verse. Just read the Bible, I'm telling you. Now light lay until midnight, and at midnight he rose and took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts and pulled them up along with. Then he and carried them, which is opposite Hebron. Watch it now. Here's the story. Here it is. Next verse, next verse, next verse. After this, it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was... You miss it because you're reading it in English. The word Delilah comes from the word which means night. So here is the light. They're waiting for him at midnight. And they were silent at midnight because the ultimate darkness is coming after him. Okay, visually, let me show you what it looks like. Samson, God says, I want you to be the light. Here you go, Samson. I want you to be the light. You're supposed to be the light of the world, Samson. And that's what I want you to be. I want you to set my people free. I want you to deliver them from the Philistines. That's who you're supposed to be. That's what you're supposed to be. But Samson, just as God has called you to be light, the enemy, Samson, has a plan for you. His plan's called Delilah. And he will wait as long as he has to, Samson, because he has one goal, and that is to extinguish your light. So he says, the enemy is waiting all night, staying up morning and night, waiting for the perfect opportunity. No, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. He might see that one coming. I'm just waiting to extinguish your light. God has called all of us, every last one of us, to be light. The enemy has an equal strategy for you. And he will do whatever it takes and wait as long as he has to make sure that your light is extinguished. The question is, some of you waiting around trying to say, not me. Watch it. Last thought, then I'll let you sit. Calm down. The text, chapter 15. The last verse of chapter 15 says this. Read it slowly, please. Slowly. So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the... This is happening 20 years after some drama happened before. Here's what the devil will do. You thought, okay, this is, the devil says, this is what you like. This is what you like. No, they get used to this, so this is not what they like no more. Let me change it up on them a little bit. And he will wait 5 years and try something else. And you were, okay, this is not what they like. Let me wait 20 years, but let me switch it up just enough so it looks different this time. Now, this is the one that's going to take them out. This one right here. If I just set it up the right way, tee it up the right way, this is the Delilah. My question for you today is, what is your Delilah? You may be seated if you can, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm preaching today. I don't know what you come to church for today. You better run right out of here right now. But Lord, this is 20 years later, ladies and gentlemen. The enemy will wait as he has all the time in the world to take you out. All the time in the world. He will wait as long as you have. He will sit back, relax, kick it in your house until the right time to extinguish your light. He says, I have one goal, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what I'm trying to do. He makes it plain. God sets you up as the light. I want to extinguish your light. Men. We live in a season now where over the last 12 months, you have seen giants in every form of life. You've watched their lights get extinguished. The question is, are you even aware that the enemy has a bullseye on your back? We're in a series, and the series we're calling, where we're simply addressing, hey man, listen, you were made for Mondays. Do not create this dichotomy between the sacred and the secular. That's what the world does. They go to church and then they live any way they want to live for the rest of the week. Do not allow yourself to believe that you can worship God on Sunday and live raggedy the rest of the week. Do not believe that you can praise God on Sunday and cuss everybody out Monday through Friday. He says, not so with you. He says you were made for Mondays. What we're trying to do is create an environment where we remind you that there's 169 hours in the week, and it is your assignment to make sure that in all you do all for the glory of God. Which means you don't just worship God on Sundays for 2 hours. You worship God every day of every single week for the rest of your life. So let's do away with this compartmentalization where on Sunday we act righteous and then when we get in the car, we act cray-cray. Let's do away with that dichotomy, with that division God says, I want you in everything you do to worship me in spirit and in truth. In order to do that, then, we have suggested a number of shifts that we need to make. And today's the fifth one. We're shifting from isolation to integrity. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a number of things that are at work in your life beneath the surface that if you don't understand what's going on beneath the surface of your life, you will always chew out, get mad at, frustrated with your coworkers, your boss, your spouse, your friends, your community, and everybody else. And you will continue to blame them instead of own your own drama. Much of this is derived from what took place in your life in your formative years. So before I get to theology, I want to introduce you to a little bit of psychology. Because the psychology will inform why Samson did what he did, and then the theology is going to inform how God tried to get him out of it, but he stayed in it. Go to the back of your page. If you don't have a notes page, put your hand up. Somebody will get one to you, but you need one today because everybody in the house has a father wound. Everybody does. And I'm going to show you what Samson's was in a minute. Everybody has a father wound, and your father wounds are one of these five. Either you were neglected, controlled, absent, withholding, or abused. At some level, if you're neglected, then your argument is, since I was neglected, I am incompetent. If you're controlled, then it's going to express itself every now and again in domination. If there was absence, if there was divorce, separation, or death, and they were not present in your home, then that has its ramifications as well. If they were withholding love, withholding blessing, withholding affirmation, then that's going to lead to some stuff in your life. And if there was any form of abuse, mental, physical, sexual, spiritual abuse, where people made you go to church your whole, then you're going to respond to that in a particular way. But every last one of us are responding to what we lacked growing up. See, I have some of these too, and I've got to be very careful, because if I'm not careful, then I will respond for your approval. Because I have two areas, I respond to two of these. Well, number one, there was some neglect. No, my dad was present in the house. He just wasn't present in my life because he had a theology that ran everything that he did. And he said, if I take care of God's church, then he'll take care of my family. And to this day, we talk about it, and he has confessed. He said, son, I'm so sorry. And he's done all of that already. But my point is, it still has an effect on my life. And if I'm not careful, I will either repeat the process that he did for me, or I will go to the other extreme. So I've got to be careful how I raise my own kids. Number two, for me, this is my life. There was some withholding of what I call love, blessings, and affirmation. He was present, but I felt more loved by my mom than my dad. Now, when I played sports all my life, when I ran track, when I played football, when I played soccer, whatever I played, my dad was never there. Now, it's not just my dad. Ain't no dad in Jamaica was there except Bob Marley, because he didn't work but sing a couple times. He the only dad in the house talking about, hey, man, oh, yeah. High as can be. Anyways, listen. So when I made a good save, or when I did something good, I had my friends to affirm me. And when I went home and told my dad said, good job, son, proud of you. And then that was it. But I needed somebody to say, son, you come right here, stand in front of me, and let me tell you how great God has created you. So whoa, what is the effect on my life? So if I'm not careful, I'll do everything I'm doing for the applause of man. And I'll do stuff, listen, and use people because I want to get affirmation that I didn't get when I was growing up. So if I don't have people in my life and fathers in my life, spiritual fathers in my life, that are saying, well done, my son. Look me in the eye. I'm proud of you. No, you got to watch it now, because you might go overboard with your kids. So I might go to my son and say, son, I ain't done a thing. Son, you're the greatest in the world. Why, dad? You just the greatest. No, Joker, do something. Do you see how it can flip on you? Because of what you didn't have, you go overboard on the other side. But every one of us, there's something working in the background of your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to play to it, and you might overplay your hand. So some of you are still looking for affirmation From your boss, from your coworkers, from the board of directors, from your executive team. And you're looking for affirmation from them because you didn't get it from your dad. And instead of confessing your own pain, you're looking to somebody else, which is why you're always blaming them for what you don't have. It's your own drama. And you don't even know it. Preach, Pastor. You're helping somebody today. Preach, Pastor. Mm-hmm. By the way, parents, that's why when you just say, well, I just can't stand him no more. I just can't stand her no more. I'm gone. I'm leaving her. And you create this absence. Just know you just affected your kids for the next 50 years. Well, God don't want me in no mess. Oh, 50 years they'll have to suffer. Because, which is why singles don't make the wrong mistake. Well, he's so sweet. She's so sweet. Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay, now you're going to bring a kid into the world. And when you bring that kid into the world and you see who the person really is, you're going to leave them. And when you leave them, now they have to suffer with your self-centeredness on the front end and on the back end. You're preaching now, Pastor. You're telling somebody the truth now, Pastor. Preach it! I need a voice for the third service. Calm down. So here we go. Now I want you to circle your wound. You love laughing at mine. Circle your own. Some of you need to circle the whole thing. No, don't laugh. Don't laugh. It's a serious thing. Look at your neighbor and make sure they circle one. Really, they need to circle two. Come on, make sure somebody hasn't circled none, just wave your hand at me. Let me come down there and give them the mic so they can tell all of us what's really going on in the house of the Lord. You thought church is just about being a passive listener. Uh-uh. You need to be engaged. So come on, circle yours. All right, everybody got it. All right. I really should say if neglect is yours, wave your hand. But I'm going to let you stay because I have too much ground to cover. Listen, watch the switch now. Turn the page over to the middle section on the right-hand side. And let me show you what God says about you in light of these wounds. Listen, this is so huge. I'm getting to Samson. I promise you I'm getting to him in a minute. But I have to show you what's going on underneath the surface so you can see why Samson does what he does. Watch this. There are four needs only God can meet. Watch this. Need number one. I've taught you this already, couples. Purpose, security, identity, and acceptance. Listen. Samson knew his purpose. The text tells us, chapter 13. He says, Samson, I want you to deliver my people from the hands of the Philistines. That's what I want you to do, Samson. Make sure you do it. I want you to be the light of the world in the midst of the Philistines. And I want them to know that I want the children of Israel to know that I've provided them a judge that will lead them out of here. Watch this. He knew his purpose. Everything else, he did not know clearly. Everything else. Listen, do not let the gift that God has given you fool you into thinking you don't need God. Come here. Samson, every judge in the book of Judges started small and ended strong. They all started weak, ended strong. Everyone. Ehud started weak, ended strong. Othniel started weak, ended strong. Deborah started weak, ended strong. Gideon started weak, ended strong. Samson, the only one who started strong and ended weak. Be careful that you don't think your gift is enough, because your gift will destroy you if you don't realize that your gift is an anointing that God has given you for his purposes, not yours. I'm helping somebody today. I'm setting you free. So Samson, he knew his purpose. Listen, but every one of these three, he thought he could find them in himself. Security. I don't need nobody. I can beat up any boy that roll up on me. Anybody. 300 of y'all can roll up. I'll take the jawbone of an ass and I will rip all of you apart. Strength, security. I got it in me. I'm strong enough. Identity. I don't need to believe that I'm God's creation. I don't need to believe all that. Why don't I need to believe all that? Because I can do whatever I want to do, whatever I want to do it. Acceptance. I don't need y'all's acceptance, because if you don't accept me, I'll just kill all of y'all. I don't need you. Everyone that he should have accepted from God, he did not, except purpose. And the reason he did it is because of the gift that God had given him. I wonder if you have a gift and you're so good with it that you think you don't need God. I wonder if you have a gift to make money and you're making so much money and you think you don't need God. I wonder if you think your 401k and your investment and your stock options can take you through life. Be careful. The co-founder of Apple just died, had all the money in the world, but he can't cure cancer. Be careful, because but for the grace of God, you don't live another day. So be careful how strong you think you are. Be careful how accepted and how much you think your identity is all wrapped up in you. Because Samson's going to find out in a minute that if you don't accept this from God, this from God, this from God, and not use people to get it, then the enemy is going to use it like he has never used it before to take you out. That's what's happening to some of you on your jobs. You just think you're so good. Your talent speaks for you. I don't need no relationship with nobody else. I can rise to the top by myself. Just be quiet. You're so immature. The problem is you don't even know you're immature. So arrogant. Don't even know it. Calm down. God says, just my favorite image. Chuck Swindoll said this. It was etched in my mind. Here's what you always need to remember. I said this 100 times. You ain't nothing but a turtle on a fence post. To get up there, God has to put you up there. And you better believe he can take you down anytime you act like a fool. You didn't get up there. He got you up there. And whenever your time is done, he can take you down. So don't believe the press report like you're all that. You ain't but for the grace of God. Can I get a witness, somebody? All right, here we go. Come on. I got work to do. So let me show you now. Watch this. This is so huge. 20 years later, Samson and Delilah showed up. I don't want to teach on Samson and Delilah today. I want to teach on what happened 20 years before Delilah. That's what I want to teach on. 20 years before Delilah, Samson was cultivating some habits. And these habits, the enemy is studying how he's operating. When he's a young lad, he's studying how he's operating. Because those are the same habits that 20 years later is going to take him out. God gave him warning signs along the way. And he said, hey, Samson, hey, light of the world, be careful. Because these same habits, if you're not careful, I'm trying to help you. They will take you out. And Samson's going to walk past all five of them, just like you're walking past some of them right now. And if you're not careful, well, Pastor, I'm seasoned now. I'm seasoned. That's what Samson thought too. Well, Pastor, I'm young. I'm in college now. I'm good. I'm invincible. Okay. What started in college is a habit that now you can't get rid of. You started out with a little bit of drugs, now you strung out on it. You started with just social drinking, now you can't help but have one every single day. You started out, I just like this one, but I really like this one too, but I like this one too. So you smashed all three, can I say that? All three of them, and then now you can't help it. Now you have a wife and you have about 15 side chicks. Back in the day, you didn't respect your dad. You didn't honor your dad. You told him you're mine. Good. Now you get married, and all of a sudden, you can't stop. You in church, they say, honor your husband, honor your husband. You don't even know what honor means. Respect it. Respect. Here we go. When you don't like somebody, that don't mean you're supposed to love your enemies. You don't care about that. When you don't like them, you give them a piece of your mind. It started in high school. It started in college. It started on your first job. Now you're so hooked to it. There we go. So let me give it a five, and then I'll sit down. There are five warning signs. The enemy wants you to ignore all of them because he wants to extinguish your light. Sign number one. Samson chapter 13, round about verse 4. The text says, hey, dude. Therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink. Hey, by the way, nor eat or touch anything unclean. Next verse. For behold, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son. But by the way, no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite and to God from the womb, and he shall begin, here we go, purpose, to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, so here's the first warning. This is so huge. The first warning, it's coming down. God is saying, hey man, here it comes. Number one, precepts. Precepts. In other words, God says, here's the word of God. Here's what I say about you. Don't cut your hair. Don't hang out with nobody else. Don't hang out with nobody that's not a part of your culture. Don't marry somebody outside your culture. That's what the word says. He says, don't drink none. Don't touch none. Don't kill none. Here we go. What's he doing? He says, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do my own thing anyways. You know the word, but you're not responding to it. You know what the Bible says, but you're not responding. That's why some of you don't need to listen. Go apply the word you got. You always want more. Give me more word. Give me, ooh, that was good. Ooh, that was, go apply what you already know. Let me show you how you're doing the same thing that Samson does. You know right now in your life that God says, I want you to let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Yet still every second word is something unwholesome. Here's what you're doing. I don't care what you say, God. I don't care what your word says, God. I'm going to kick this sign down and I'm going to ignore your word. And you're doing it just like Samson did. Samson, don't go marry that girl. She ain't of you, Samson. But yet still, he's running over there. Oh yeah, give me her. Give me her. She fine. Give me her. Some of you know, my Bible says, hey man, be careful, be careful. You shouldn't be sleeping around, but you sleeping around and you don't care. You shacking and you don't care. Here's what you're doing. You're saying, God, I know your word, but it ain't convenient right now, so I'm not going to apply your word. I'm going to roll right by this sign. It's okay if the train hit me, it hit me, but enough people get out of it, and they get out of it, and ain't no train hit them, so I'm going to be good because everybody else does it, and I don't see the consequences right away. You know you shouldn't be shacking, but you're still doing it. Why? Because it just feels good. Money is good. We can split all the bills. You know you shouldn't be sleeping around. You know you want to complain about everybody else's sin and you ignore your own. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to help you. He's saying, do not get so used to receiving the word but not applying it. You're setting yourself up for the future. Don't make it so normal that if somebody comes that brings word to you, you get mad at them bringing word, God's word to you. Don't get so used to your, here's what the world's doing now. Don't normalize sin. That's what you shouldn't do. Don't normalize it. You're supposed to weep over sin, not normalize it. Yet still it's so difficult. And you know why it's difficult? Because the people you hang out with are doing it. And it looked like they're getting away with it. And you be like, well, why am I supposed to be the only one trying to be godly? If everybody else ungodly, might as well I go do it too. What kind of reasoning is that? You think you're going to give an account for them? You're only going to give an account for you? Samson's supposed to have this outward exterior of being a Nazarite, one set apart for God. And yet still, he's known as a private hypocrite. How about you? What's the area where you are ignoring God's word and doing your own thing? You're supposed to pray for those over you, your boss, your board of directors. You're supposed to pray for those over you. When last time you prayed for your boss who get on your last nerve? When was the last time you said, God bless them beyond their wildest imagination? When's the last time you prayed for your enemies who just can't stand you? When is the last time the person who told all those lies against you, you say, no, you know what, God, can you just bless them indeed? Expand their territory. Let me pray the prayer of Jabez over them, God. In your son's name, bless them. May their tribe increase. Praise the Lord. You ain't doing that because your focus is on you. So you're going to kick down God's warning sign because you want the focus to be on you. Let me tell you what's happening to you slowly. The enemy is setting you up. He wants you to ignore the word of God. So ultimately, Delilah can show up in your life. So he's trying. Number two, What's number one? Everybody say it with me. Number one is precepts. Second warning sign is parents. Parents. What's the text? Ooh, this is so good. What's the text? Judges chapter 14. Remember now, as you're listening to the story, because somebody's reading it to you, you know the law, you know what a Nazirite's supposed to do when you're reading it. Here we go. So he came back and told his father and mother, hey, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. And the readers are saying, here's why they're saying that, because they know you're not supposed to be doing here. What you doing here? What in the world are you doing here? Stop, run, go back to the priest, ask for forgiveness, run back, shave your hair, and say, God, forgive me, start me over again. That's what's supposed to happen. So they're reading it. What in the world are you doing there? Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. You kidding me? First of all, you talking to your parents like that, Joker? You see, you're missing it. You're missing it. You talking to your parents like that? That means in all of their lives, mom and dad has been passive. Why this kid did anything he wanted to do. And parents quit it because you do the same thing. Let me talk about me. I do the same thing. This week, my son went to school and it's really cold. So I have this great jacket and I said, hey, buddy, put this jacket on before you walk into school. He says, no, Dad, I don't want to do that. So I said, son, but it's cold outside. This true story. This week, but it's cold outside. He says, yeah, Dad, but it's not cool. I don't want that jacket. So I let the kid go to school without the jacket. So I drove off. And I said to myself, who is the parent? Is he the parent and I'm the kid? What the heck is going on? So the rest of that week, he had on two jackets. Joker, I done lost my mind momentarily. My bad. It will not happen again. The heck is this going on? Quit tripping because you do the same thing. You want to give them what they want so badly. You want to make them happy so badly that you come and you just give them whatever they want. He has a new strategy for me now. He coming to me and I'm like, Dad, I'm sad. Great. That's healthy for you to be sad. And then he doesn't know what to do next. So he says, what do you mean? No, you're supposed to say, no, I know your little game. Be sad. Sit in the corner and be sad. The heck is going on up in here. Anyways, that's not my point. Come on. Just had to share that. Number two. He walked not only by precepts, now he's walking by his authority. His authority is going to tell him, look at the next verse. Hold that 1 second. Look at the next verse. Here's what the next verse says. He says, then his father and mother, listen to his authority, said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives? And now the audience is saying, yeah, come on. That's what you're supposed to do. Or among all our people? Really? That you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Philistines? Really, Samson? Come on, dude. You know better than that. And don't you do that? First of all, some of you don't even have a covering. Some of you don't even have anybody that can speak into your life. I told the staff the other day, I said, hey, man, who can speak into your life now? And you argue nothing. You just do what they say. Let me ask you, anybody like that? They can speak directly to you. And they will say, this is what I need you to go do. Go do it. And you say, thank you so much for your insight. I appreciate it. And go do what they say. Who have you given the right to speak into your life like that? The problem is you love isolation so much. You don't want nobody telling you what you to do. So then the guardrail's coming down and God is saying, don't walk past authority. Don't do it. And you be like, well, God, listen, I'm grown. I can make my own decision. I don't need nobody to help me. I'm good. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's the sad part. The sad part is you can see everybody else's drama real good. You are the smartest person in the world with giving other people advice. But when it comes to yourself, you're a bumbling idiot. Sorry, let me not talk about you. Let me talk about me. I'm a bumbling idiot when it comes to myself. Why? Because when it comes to me, I'm going to believe the best about me, even if the best is what's wrong. Because I want what I want so badly, I'm going to go get it, even if I know it's not good for me. That's why my number one question for you is, who are you running with? Who are the people you're doing life with that will tell you that's a bad decision? Who is it that can speak into you, into your life, and say, dude, stop it? And if there's nobody, I'm telling you, I've been a casualty of this. If there's nobody that's coming alongside you and saying, dude, stop it. If there's nobody that you're letting in and said, hey, man, here's what I'm thinking about doing. I think this is foolish, but I still want to do it. What do you think? And they say, knucklehead, I'm going to stay with you until you change this. Do you have anybody in your life like that? Do you have another couple in your life? I remember a couple of times Jada and I brought another couple to come live with us because they didn't know how to relate to each other. So they had to come live with us for about a week because they could not really. You have anybody in your life that love you so much that they will inconvenience themselves and their families to bring you into their house and love you enough to tell you and teach you how to love each other and respect each other? If you don't have anybody like that, you're an accident waiting to happen. You really, really are. Somebody who loves you enough to care about you and you don't run past the authority that God has graciously blessed you with and tear it down. So you can do what you want to do. Ladies and gentlemen, authority is a big one. God operates based on authority. So don't, that's why he says, your job is to make it easy for those who lead you, not miserable for those who lead you. So if right now you have people that's above you and you're making it miserable and hard, then you're walking in sin and don't even know it. The guardrail's going down and you don't even know it. Number one, what is it? Precepts. Number two, what is it? Parents. Number three. What's number three? Number three is providence. Providence. Say that with me. Number three is? All right, you're not saying it passionately enough. Number one is? Number two is? Number three is? You ever know that you shouldn't go somewhere, but you're going anywhere, and God set somebody up to call you, and you ignore their call? Because you know what they're finna tell you. Check the text out. Samson, here we go, teed up. Then Samson, light, went down to Timnah with his father. First of all, mom and dad, what the heck you doing going down with him anywhere? By the way, small groups, sometimes you need to let somebody go when they don't want to listen. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes when they're so stubborn, you need to say, I can't have anything to do with you. If you're going to keep doing the foolishness, I can't have anything to do with you. Anyway, it continues. And came as far as the vineyards of Timnah. Here we go. If you're listening to the text again, it says, and behold, the grace of God, a lion shows up. The lion show up to tell him, hey, dude, stop, turn around, go to the priest, confess your sins, turn around, shave your head, say you're sorry, start over again. He brings the lion. What does he do? He relies on his strength. So he tears the lion apart. Ain't no lion gonna stop me. No, you really know the Spirit of God's left you. Listen, when you think something that's of God is really from the devil. Listen. Be careful, because God will send somebody by to help you. They're just the messenger. It's really coming from God. You've seen this before. You've done this before. Let me show you how. You've done this before. I've done this before. I'm driving, and red lights come on. And I'm saying to God, Jesus, if you let him get the dude in front of me, I promise you in the name of Jesus, I will never speed again in my life. So he goes around you, gets the other person. You do a little, you have a little praise break in your car. And in 2 minutes, you're at 90 again. We do it all the time. The problem is, when you do it to God, you get so used to it that now you don't even see it as the grace of God coming in your life to stop you from disaster. You just depend on your own strength and say, thank you, God, for giving me this strength to do what I do. Be careful, ladies and gentlemen. Just because you can make money don't mean you have to get insider trading to make the money. Because God will send somebody by to tell you, hey, here's an opportunity for you. And he's trying to get your attention to know if you go down this path, you're going to jail. And yet still, because the devil knows what moves you, he tees it up for you. Here comes this lion. He's roaring toward him. He says, let me rip the lion apart. What moves him? I want that woman. She looks good. The devil knew what moved him. What moved him is a fine woman. What moves him is intellectual stimulation. What moves him is his appetite. He knows what moves you. And the question is, do you even know what moves you? See, some of you ladies, what moves you is shoes, and he's going to use shoes to take you down. See, you don't like that, do you? You don't like that. You need to know what moves you. You got 400 pair of shoes, and you want 401. And you're even mad at me for bringing that up. The warning sign called Pastor Conway's come, and God said, hey, listen to this one. You'll be like, that ain't none but the devil. I don't receive that. Oh, no, get that outside of me. I rebuke you, devil. Get out of here. Shoes, where are you? Come on. the Bible is so rich. Number one is precepts. Number two is parents. Number three, number four, it gets uglier now. Number four is problems. Problems, 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 problems. Here's what's happening. Samson says, I want to go to her. I want to get her. So he marries this girl. Now, when you marry them, you have to have a little party for the boys. So you have a party for the boys. He gives them this riddle because he just killed a lion. And after a while, bees go inside the lion. There's honey. He scrapes the honey out. He takes some, gives it to his parents. Don't tell him it was from something unclean. And so now he has a riddle in his mind. He gives them the riddle. And he says, if you solve it, then I will give you clothes. What motivates and what moves them? Clothes. And he says, I'll give you fancy clothes and I'll give you food and stuff. What moves him? He knows what moves him. So he says, if you do, because I want to look fine. I want to be suited and booted. I want to walk around and everybody's like, ooh. I want to look at your car. I want to look at your house. Like, ooh. And so that's what drives him. A man of God. He's supposed to be the light of the world. And what drives him is clothes. God's called you to be a deliverer in your sphere of influence. And what's driving you is clothes. What's driving you is cars. What's driving you is houses. You think God ain't bigger than all of those? You still living like the rest of the world? That's all they got. You got heaven on the other side of this. And God says your assignment is to populate heaven. You still worried about clothes? What kind of shoes you wear? What kind of jeans you got on? What kind of jacket you got on? It's name brand. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. This one's from Macy's. Praise the Lord. Problems. Here's the text. Here's what the text says. Text says, he got all of that stuff. Here's the verse. And his anger, say this word with me, burned. Why did it burn? Because his wife, Delilah is not here. She's 20 years away. Seduces him and tells him, they're going to burn my house down. They're going to burn it down. So therefore, tell me, please. He says, no, I didn't tell my mama and I didn't tell my daddy. He says, no, but you got to tell me, please. Come on. I'll give you whatever you want. You remember? What you love is me. You love my tail. You love everything about me. You love my hair. It can be all yours if you just tell me. Do you see who he's hanging with? People who now stoop to bribes to help their friends. Problems going to show up. When you hang out with the wrong people for a long time, problems are going to show up. Let me ask you, who are you hanging with? Who in the world are you hanging out with? By the way, a boy one day has a boat that's gotten away from him on the lake. He's on the shore. It's gotten away from him. He wants to get his boat back. So he starts throwing stones. A man walks by and says, dude, why are you trying to throw stones at the little boat? He says, excuse me, sir, I'm not trying to throw stones at the boat. I'm actually trying to throw stones at the other side of the boat so that the ripple of the water will bring the boat back to me. Whenever God throws troubles your way, it might look and feel like he's trying to get you, but he's not trying to get you. He's just trying to throw it just beyond you to create ripples so that you will run right back to him. Ladies and gentlemen, I came by to tell you today, I am telling you that God's not trying to hurt you. He's actually trying to love you. And if you're going to let him love you, you got to run right back into his arms. Realize that those problems were designed to get your attention so you can run back to the one who loves you most. Can I get a witness in this house, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, he walked by all of them. You're doing the same thing. Look at the kind of people he's hanging out with. Is that the kind of people you want to hang out with? They're not going to bring up your morality. They're going to take you down and expose your depravity. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why, just because this is yours, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but just because this is your frat brother or your sorority sisters, don't mean that's who you hang with if they don't love Jesus like you do. I know I don't need your help. I'm good because I'm preaching truth. So if you want to hang out with them because they can move you up the ladder further than your Christian brothers and sisters, then now I know what moves you. And if I know what moves you, the enemy sure enough know what moves you. And if that's what drives you, is how far you can go and how much you can get and all of that, then now I know how he's going to take you out and extinguish your light. Be careful. Hang out with people, run with a group of brothers and sisters that are Christ-centered and that will force you to run toward Jesus and not away from him. Tell me what number one is. Number one is precepts. Number two is? Number three is, quickly. Number four is? Here's the last one. This is real tough. The last one is pain. Pain. Do you see how it goes from not so bad, apparently, all the way down? Now you're feeling excruciating pain. Watch the text on this one, chapter 15, verse number 1. But after what? 20 years have not come yet. After a while, in the season of wheat harvest, Samson visited his wife. The audience would say, why are you visiting a wife that's not of your kind? With a young goat, and said, I will go into my wife in her room. But her father, the wife's father, the one you should have never married, did not let him enter. Why? Why? Next verse. Let me show you the kind of people you're hanging with. Her father said, hey, I really thought that you hated her intensely. That's because that's what he would do. He would hate somebody intensely that did him something wrong. So you're hanging with people that when you do them wrong, they're going to do something bad to you. Watch who he's hanging with. Next verse. Next verse. So I gave her to your companion. Two problems with that. What kind of dad give her to somebody else? And what kind of friend is that? So the friends I'm hanging with just can't wait to get my wife? They can't wait to sleep with her? I wish you would. Actually, I wish both of y'all would. Preach, Pastor. Is not her, listen to what moves him. Is not her younger sister more beautiful? I mean, look, Samson, look at her tail. Come on. Because that's what moves you. Look at her hair, it's flowing. Because that's what moves you. Look at her face, it's flawless. Because that's what moves you. Look at her. Because that's what moves you. Fill in your own crazy blanks. Please let her be yours instead. Do you see what I'm saying? It's coming down. Come on down. Pain has reached Samson's door. And here's what Samson's saying. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is the problem with the whole thing. The problem with the whole thing is, and this is why you do it, and this is why I do what we do sometimes. Because God says, I want you to be the light of the world. I want you to show the world what my light looks like. And you be like, okay, God, okay, I'm trying to show this light, God. And then the barrier's here. And you be like, man, I think I can get away with this one. So here's what you do. You come down and you say, well, I'm going to try. And you come over here. Y'all can see me. And you say, I have not been hit. I'm good. Look at God. Then you're on the other side and you're claiming the will of God for your life. Lord, thank you, Jesus. I ain't been hit. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? So now you're on the other side of the tracks. Ain't no train coming. And then this is how you justify your foolishness. You said, well, everybody else getting away with it. Might as well I try. Everybody else gone. Well, they got a divorce. Well, they did this. Well, they did that. Well, they greedy. Well, they shady. And they still got married. So let me try too. And because no train has hit you, said the last word with me, yet. Chapter 16 is coming. They walk past all of them thinking, I'm gonna get away with it this time. Ain't that the truth? That's all right. Okay. Did I get away? And then you have the audacity to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Glory to God. Then your praise, sin become part of your praise. You be like, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to, and you step all the way over right into the train. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just here to tell you today that chapter 16 is coming. And if you don't heed the warning of chapter 13, chapter 14, and chapter 15, Delilah is coming to extinguish your light. That's the passage, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's go real quick and then I'm done. I gotta go. Here we go. Four barriers that prevent healing. Here's what prevents us from healing. Number one is pride. That's what prevents you, because you don't desire to change it. I'm going to give you a chance to stand and receive forgiveness today. But some of you are so prideful. Well, that's not me. Number two is sin. It blocks you so much so you can't give your father, whether he's absent, whether he's passed on, you can't even forgive him because you're still holding him hostage for what he has done to you and you're not releasing him. Number four is the lies you tell yourself, the lies you say about your birth father, and the lies you say about God. And then the last one is the wound, that continuous emotional hurt on the inside. That's what stops us from healing. What does God want us to do instead? Go to the back page. Instead, what he wants you to do is realize that, number one, he wants you to understand the heart of God and that God is not after you. He's there to help you and to restore you. Number two, he wants you to invite him into your wounds and into the pain so that he can bring brothers and sisters around you so you can experience the love of God. Number three, he wants you to accept the truth. What's the truth? Read those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Read those 6 for me. Here we go. Number one, I am. Come on, everybody, read it as loud as you can. Number one, I am, and nothing can. That's who your God says you are. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's the, will you invite God? Will you invite God into your wound so that it doesn't affect the rest of your life? So that it doesn't affect the rest of the people who depend on you? The next generation and the generation after that. Will you? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you know, real quick, I don't want anybody moving now, by the way. If you know which guardrail the Lord is speaking to you about right now, in a moment I'm going to ask you to stand and I just want to pray for you. If you know which guardrail, there is one that you have taken for granted for such a long time, I want you to stand, not yet, just in a moment. When you know as clear as day, God's saying to you, you've walked by this one too much. It's time for you to stop. Seek forgiveness. Run back to the cross and say, I'm sorry, God. I'm going to get this one right. If you know which one God's talking to you about right now, then stand up right where you are. Anybody? Stand up right where you are. Don't wait for somebody else. I want you to stand. You know exactly the one he's saying. The enemy is setting you up to extinguish your life. And you know exactly the one you have taken advantage of for such a long time. I got two of them that I'd be standing for right now. Two of them. Anybody else? You know, it's as if, as I've been talking, God's been saying, yep, that's the one for you. Yep, that's yours. Ladies and gentlemen, Samson, in chapter 13, 14, and 15, he's chilling. He has no thought that Delilah is coming. You're in chapter 13 right now. Will you respond? Bring it down. Will you respond to God's word as this thing comes down and say, okay, I got it, God, I'm stopping right here. Or will you run right by it again? Father, you see your people. We're all standing. We really are, because we realize that it's so easy to do this. It is so easy to blow by it. So much so that we have normalized it in our lives. God, like Samson should have done, we say we're sorry today. We're running to the cross and we're saying, forgive us. Collectively, God, forgive us for violating your word. Forgive us for running by our authority. Forgive us, God, for running by the warning signs and the providence you've put in our lives. Forgive us when you even show us how problematic it is and we still don't get. Forgive us. And forgive us when the pain comes knocking, not at our doors personally, but at the door of our entire family. Forgive us, God. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Thank you for the fact that you really are a way maker and you're a healer and you are a deliverer. That's what you specialize in. So that's why we can run to the throne of grace and receive forgiveness from you. Because God, we know you've called us to be the light in the worlds that you have sent us into. We don't want that light to be extinguished. We've seen it. We've seen it played out all over the media. We've seen it played out in our personal lives. We don't want that to happen. So will you please give us wisdom and give us a community of believers that will love us, even though they know all of us, that will love us in the midst of our mess and help us walk toward righteousness. We're sensing your forgiveness. We're sensing the bond being broken, and we thank you for it. Deliver us and then use us. Take 15 seconds, just you and God, to have your own conversation with him. 15 seconds. Let's go right now. 15 seconds. Just you and God. Forgive me, God. I get it. It's coming down. I see it. Thanks for your grace one more time for bringing this bar down. You're so kind. You're so merciful. You keep allowing it to come down to warn me because you love me. Thanks for loving us so much. Five more seconds, come on. Five more seconds. You're turning lives around, God. You're turning it around. You're turning situations around, which is why we're going to worship you, because we see your grace and your mercy again. Father, if there's somebody here that don't know you as personal Lord and Savior, let them know that you can't do this by might nor by power. Samson tried it, but it's only by and through Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, then your light won't shine bright. So if there's somebody here that don't know you, bring them to yourself today. Thank you for the opportunity to represent you again. Thanks for your grace and that your mercies are new every morning. We run into our offices tomorrow, shining our lights bright, being aware with our community groups, running with us, knowing that we got a group of people that are in this battle fighting together for the glory of God. Release us now into this dark world, and we will shine our lights bright. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, come on, give God a thunderous round of applause for his grace and for his mercy and for his goodness. Come on, we're not at a cowboy game. We're doing this for the King of Kings, and we're doing this for the Lord of Lords. He's been too great. He's been too great. Woo! You may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. Right after this, some men and women are going to be up here. If you want somebody to pray with you, don't just run out, please. Just come on up. We would consider it an honor to pray with you. So don't just run out. We're going to let you out in sections here in a moment. When your section is illuminated, then you can go. We do it because we want a steady stream, not a mass group of people going to our kids' area. So we do it to make the out going out orderly, just a little more. And then two, we do it so that you can talk to the person beside you. You don't just come to church for you. God sovereignly placed somebody beside you. Encourage them in the Lord. Praise God. Remember, this week, bring some kids. Wednesday and Thursday. And let's have some fun. And then ladies, remember, go sign up online. Thanks for being here. Lastly, thank you for being a body that's open to receiving the word even when it cuts. You have no idea how grateful I am that you're open to God's word, pure and straight. Thank you for being a body of believers. Yeah, you can give yourselves a round of applause for that. That's really cool. It's really cool. Really is. Ladies, don't forget. And then young adults and singles, please remember, we'll see you Friday night. The screens are going to be illuminated now. As they are illuminated, you can leave. If you want prayer, please just come on up. And lastly, if you know somebody beside you, if you don't know them, introduce yourself and talk. Get to know somebody. See you guys. Have a good week.